Let us pray. May we trust in you, O God, to faithfully send your word into our lives so that we may grow as trees planted by rivers of living water, producing good fruit in their season, rooted and grounded in you. Amen. Our scriptures this morning are from the book of Luke, and Jess is reading this morning.
About that time, some people came up and told him about Galilee's had killed while they were at worship, mixing their blood with the blood of the sacrifices on the altar. Jesus responded, "Do you think those murdered Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans? Not at all. Unless you turn to God, you too will die." And those 18 in Jerusalem the other day, the ones crushed and killed when the Tower of Siloam collapsed and fell on them, do you think they were worse citizens than all the other people of Jerusalem? Not at all. Unless you turn to God, you too will die. Then he told them a story. A man had an apple tree planted in his front yard. He came to it expecting to find apples, but there weren't any. He said to his gardener, "What's going on here? For 3 years I've come to this tree expecting apples, and not one apple have I found. Chop it down. Why waste good ground with it any longer?" The gardener said, "Let's give it another year. I'll dig around it and fertilize it, and maybe it'll produce next year. If it doesn't, then we'll chop it down."
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
This excuse me. This is entitled "Ode to a Barren Fruit Tree." "Dug a hole, did I? Added peat, fertilizer. Then you planted I. Expectations great. Watering, sunning. When winter came, covering. Protecting. Watched your growing, did I? Joy, joy. First buds, yours. Leaves, yours. Look so frail, you. Bending with the breeze. Sticks, ties, straightened you, did I? Weeds at bay, kept I. Your base mulch, did I? Watched, did I? Waited, did I? No fruit. Why? Everything right, did I? Leaves green? Roots strong? Where are the sticks? The ties? No need. Stand against the winter, do you? Rain's not bending you. So fruit, where? Sweet tasting, thirst quenching goodness, not there. Give up on you, should I? Cut you down? Should I? Burn you in the fire? Should I? Then no longer disappointed be I. So much toil saved, would I. But give you up? Not I. Give up on you? Never I. Dig will I. Fertilize will I. Weed will I. Grow stronger will you. Your fruit give will you. It's true. Just wait. See, will I, will you. Our granddaughter Gracie brought home a pine tree shoot to plant. It was about not big, not strong, not promising in its baggie that had been sitting in her book bag for I don't know how long, hopefully just that day, I don't know, maybe more, because... And I'm trusting you all to keep a secret. The tree did not make it through the winter. But we just couldn't tell Gracie, who was five at the time, that it had died. because she never forgot to ask about it through that summer and come and visit it that summer. We didn't have the heart to tell her that it shriveled away. So being the good and loving grandparents, and here's the secret, we lied to her. By going up to camp and getting a little sapling, digging it up, bringing it home, and planting it in the same spot that that one was in. Now this sapling had already survived a winter among its parent trees, so it was stronger. And it's still growing, and just the other day, Gracie saw it and commented on how it was growing, and she loves that little tree. Well, that substitute tree. It's the old goldfish story, you know. You know, your goldfish dies, hurry up before the kid comes home, buy another one, looks just like it. But many of you are gardeners. I mean, and do you still host the garden club here sometimes?
Well, not here. We're back over to the new.
Oh, so, but in the castle, there's a garden club. Many of you are gardeners. Plenty of farmers around here, too. You know, we've had plenty of people. Mom and Dad used to have a huge garden in the Wampsville, where the church is now, the New Beginnings Church. There was a two-acre garden there that we used to have a lot of fun with. But you understand the love affair with plants and trees and produce. The preparations, the caring for, and in the end, the beauty of the flowers, the wonderful aroma, the majestic floral arrangements, the sense of life and joy they give your house, or the sneezing and wheezing if you're allergic. But there's also the vegetable garden, the symmetrical rows, the beautiful things as they begin to produce, and then the fruit comes off to the flower, and then you get to harvest it, store it up, can it, and freeze it, and enjoy that wonderful taste that you just cannot get from stuff grown in the grocery store, or grown in the grocery, it doesn't grow in the grocery store. Well, some things grow in the grocery store, but hopefully we don't buy those. Anyway. And then there's the bushes, the azaleas and the lilacs and the roses, and then there's the tree, oranges and apples, peaches, pumpkin pie, who's not ready, holler I. It's a love affair that we have. God is like that with us. God understands about our weeds, those choking and smothering demons, but that gardener gets down in the dirt, pulls them out no matter how many times those pesky things reappear. It's God's labor of love in our lives. Jesus, in our passage this morning, is dispelling an old notion, an ancient notion, that if you are suffering, if you're murdered or killed tragically, it must be something you brought on yourself. A sin that you are being punished by God for. And as humans, we like this notion. We do. It plays well to our sense of fairness and justice. The bad people get punished. The good people get rewarded. But this notion of ours is really a fallacy, as it was in Jesus' day. Not only in this life, as if you read any of the Ecclesiastes, you'll know that guy understood that it was a fallacy. That many times the evil get good things, and many times the good people get bad things. So it's a fallacy. And Jesus wants to dispel it too. In fact, he throws it out with the garbage. He says, do you think those folks who got killed by Pilate in such a terrible way, or the folks of the Tower of Siloam fell on, were so bad as anyone else? No. No. The Bible tells us God makes the rain fall on the just and the unjust. But he says to them, unless you turn and change your way, your judgmental way of thinking, you will miss out. Your spiritual life will wither. You will perish. You will produce no fruit. That seems like an animus and a judgment by Jesus, but really, he tells us this parable, the fruit tree, to kind of fill out his meaning. That tree, though loved and cared for, bears no fruit, but the gardener will not give up on it. God shows this kind of care for the nation of Israel, and we, as Paul points out, are grafted in to that nation by faith, and so the words from the Hebrew Scriptures apply to us as well. Reading from the book of Hosea, chapter 11, and I want you to notice the nurture and care, even though there's lack of fruit, but God's determination to keep on going and never give up on these people. From Hosea chapter 11. When Israel was a child, I loved him. I called my son out of Egypt. But when I called the people of Israel, they went away from me. They offered sacrifices to the Baals and burned incense to the idols. But it was I who taught Israel to walk. I took them by their arms. They did not understand that it was I who healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ropes of love. I lifted the yoke from their neck. I bent down and fed them. But my people have made up their minds to turn away from me. The prophets call them to turn to me, but none of them honors me at all. But Israel, how can I give you up? How can I give you away, Israel? I don't want to make you like Adma or treat you like Zeboim, cities that are no more. My heart beats for you, and my love for you stirs up my pity. I won't punish you in my anger. I won't destroy Israel. I am a God. I'm God and not human. I am the Holy One, and I am among you. I will not come against you in anger. God never gives up on us. God is the Lord of new beginnings. Listen to these words from Isaiah from the 41st chapter. The Lord says, "People of Israel, you are my servants. People of Jacob, I chose you. You are from my family, friend. You are my family from my friend Abraham. I took you from places far away on the earth and called you from faraway countries. I said, 'You are my servants. I have chosen you, and I have not turned against you.' So don't worry, because I am with you. Do not be afraid, because I am your God. I will make you strong, and I will help you. I will support you with my right hand that saves you." And from the 43rd chapter, "But now God's message, the God who made you in the first place, Jacob, the one who got you started, Israel, don't be afraid. I've redeemed you. I've called your name. You are mine. When you are in over your head, I'll be there with you. When you're in rough waters, you will not go down. When you're between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end, because I am God, your personal God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I paid a huge price for you. All of Egypt, rich Cush and Seba thrown in. That's how much you mean to me. That's how much I love you. I'd sell off the whole world to get you back. Trade the creation just for you. So don't be afraid. I am with you." God's love for us is unstoppable. God's grace, amazing. As it is said, there is no hole so deep that God cannot go deeper still, go below us and lift us up. As it says in the letter to the Romans, "He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, will he not with him also give us all things?" Jesus on the cross was digging a trench around our trunk, fertilizing it with his very dying and rising so that we may bear much fruit. No matter our failures, no matter our weaknesses, no matter our losses, no matter our fears, our guilt, or our despair, God does not give up on us. The Holy Spirit is always working. Jesus is weeding, cultivating, and nurturing us. And as followers of Christ, we are called to do the same for each other and the world. We are called to love, to be kind, patient, understanding, giving, generous, always believing the best first. To have hope is our calling. Undying, unyielding hope in the possibilities. Do we get frustrated? Yeah. Do we hate weeds? Uh-huh. But we understand that's just the way it is. There is no rose garden promised, as the song says. We all will face every tough situation in life sooner or later. It will be our turn. as we say. But in our lives and in the lives of others, no matter what we are or who we are or what they are or who they are or what we're going through, we are called to be people of hope because that's how God is with us. Sometimes we give up on ourselves, but God does not. Sometimes I give up on myself, but God does not. Our Savior is always there. The power of the Holy Spirit is in us, and the Holy Spirit's power flows from us to others and back and forth. It's a wonderful thing when God steps into your life through another person's kind word or maybe truth that you needed to hear. Sometimes it comes from your grandchildren. God is always around, beside, below, behind, in front, always there. The last word is from Isaiah again, the chapter 49. It's a paraphrase that we sing now and then. I will never forget you, my people. I have carved you. I've tattooed you on my hand. Your name is right there, never to be washed off, worn off, or anything. It's there. I will never forget you. I will not leave you orphaned. I will never forget my own. As humans, we can forget. We can stray. We can be stubborn. We can be fearful. We need God's help every day. And so we sing our next hymn as a prayer. We pray to the Lord, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Let's sing together.